Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is Friday, August 22nd, 2014. This is Jeff Dunphy coming to you from a rainy Calgary. At the end of the summer warmth, it would appear. And we are speaking of retooling for your coming of age. Today, I would like to very graciously address and inspire us with the term and the word and the concept of genius, and how it is that we find our genius, and what in fact does genius mean, and how, in viewing and looking and searching for genius, it has presented itself in others so that we can represent and recognize that we shall have access to it once we put our attention to it. Now, genius, defined in Wikipedia, a genius is a person who displays exceptional intellectual ability, creativity, or originality, typically to a degree that is associated with the achievement of an unprecedented leap of insight. This may refer to a particular aspect of an individual or the individual in his or her entirety. And so they will give you examples of genius is Albert Einstein, Sir Isaac Newton, Charles Darwin. And then they go on to say there is no scientifically precise definition of genius, and the question of whether the notion itself has any real meaning has long been a subject of debate. What is genius, really? And have we, as mankind, fallen so far outside of who we really are? Have we got to a point that we have forgotten our genius? Certainly this is something that Socrates addressed, and certainly Plato did as well, in that remembering is what learning is all about. There are many things that you know deep within the recesses of your real self that you have access to when you pay attention. Now, there is a place when we get silent and get quiet and we listen for the voice of the silence that has been spoken of and written of and lectured upon for eons. The phrase voice of the silence was coined most recently by Helena Blavatsky in one of the books, in fact, she wrote called The Voice of the Silence. What is the voice of the silence? Some would say that this is, in fact, where genius resides. Some would say that we are so noisily preoccupied with our personality that it gets in the way of our genius. There's a wonderful phrase that I've used from time to time, and it goes like this: who you are speaks so loudly that I cannot hear what you are saying. How many people do we know where that phrase would be applicable? Genius, I am here to suggest, is the normal state of being. And we, in our desire to retool for our coming of age, are presented with that task, allowing our genius to manifest. Allowing our genius to manifest. Now, in keeping with the law of correspondence, which speaks to as above, so below, and as below, so above, I wish to tell you a story about how the plant kingdom can inspire us and should inspire us in our reaching for the genius. Picture, if you will, a sunflower seed being tossed into the warm, moist earth. And what it initially does, well, initially it sprouts and it sends its roots into the dirt of the earth. And in that capacity, it grounds itself in the dirt, in the material world. And the moment it has found enough nourishment, It then sticks its head out of the dirt and looks for the sun, the source of its genius. And it grows and it develops. The teensy-weensy sunflower seed develops a stalk, as you all may know, is a full inch or two in diameter. And consequently, it grows and grows and grows, and then the bud of it explodes through stress. It's a stressful idea. The watching of buds opening, regardless of which plant it is quite a remarkable instance, quite a remarkable happening. There is tension. These do not open easily. There is great tension, and then the flower opens. It doesn't try to open. It merely opens. And then, as the sunflower continues to grow, it opens and aims itself at the sun. Now, we all learned in high school biology about the concept of photosynthesis. And in that aspect of photosynthesis, we learned that plants get their nourishment from the sun. Now, it isn't too much of a leap to recognize that perhaps we do too, but maybe we've been lost in the material, lost in the material world, and lost in our lower forms of being. So the plant aims at the sun, gets its nourishment from the sun, and it is through the sun's grace and kindness and warmth and energy that it flourishes. So you see, there are seven kingdoms. Mankind is the fourth. We have the mineral. We have the plant kingdom. We have the animal kingdom. And then we have the kingdom of man. The kingdom next to man is the spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of the gods. The plant kingdom, in the course of its evolution, is in a higher pay bracket than we as mankind are, in that the plant kingdom knows how to reach for its genius, knows how to reach for its source, knows how to reach for the only logical place, and that is up toward the sun. It is quite an interesting observation to realize that most of humanity has no idea how important the sun is. It is a planet or a star or a being, depending on your perspective, that is unbelievably kind and gracious to the planet, but it is unbelievably taken for granted. Thought put in another way, if the sun would disappear, all life as we know it would disappear from the planet. The planet would dry up and disappear. Yet, this brilliant thing that many cultures have spent an enormous amount of time and energy acknowledging and recognizing and honoring, we just take it for granted. Now, if we are witness to this sunflower seed opening itself up to the sun and through photosynthesis getting the power, getting the prana, getting the vitality of the sun, and we liken it to ourselves because we play with the law of correspondence, what is it that we do that is inconsistent with that and certainly is not following the example by which the plant has led? Perhaps our wallowing around in the dirt, we are so preoccupied with it that we lose sight of the fact that we are supposed to reach for our sun, our genius, our higher self. And so we worry and we fret and we build and we empower the dirt, the material. The corollary is that we create and manifest in what we think is ourself as our personality. We confuse money with wealth. We confuse happiness with status. And in fact, we confuse our real selves with what we have erroneously identified as ourself in our personality, our image, our sense of who we are. And we have, in this latest iteration on the planet, created an environment where the development of our personality has taken precedence over the manifestation of our genius. We have created a society that makes icons out of basketball players. We've created a science that makes movie stars out of people who film themselves having sex. We deify, we give away our adoration and our respect to individuals whose facade, whose image, whose personality gets airplay. Where does that bring you? And where does that get you? Wouldn't it be a great place to be where people's genius were highly respected and created rock stars of them? Brilliant engineers, brilliant physicians, brilliant healers, brilliant musicians, where their brilliance was manifest and reason to manifest their fame, and not how big their breasts are or how beautiful their face is, or how tall and strong or lithe their body is. We have created a monster out of our pursuit of the development of our personality. Now, I want to wander through a bit of what the ancients have told us in terms of our sheaths or vehicles, where we reside. And what we talk of and what we speak of perhaps is I, the thinker. Who is it that thinks your thoughts? Who is it that breathes your breath? Who is it that pumps your heart? It is the I behind all of it. You don't wake up in the middle of the night and go, heavens, I have to remember to breathe. You don't wake up in the middle of the night and go, heavens, I have to remember to think. There is a part of you that is beyond all of that and above all of that, that is quite divine and has been spoken of as divine throughout all of time. The first of the bodies and the lowest of the bodies, in that it is of the lowest vibratory realm, is the physical. This is attached to what is referred to as the etheric body. And the physical and the etheric body are effectively joined at the hip, if we could be so silly. The etheric body sometimes is referred to as the aura, and the etheric body is oftentimes looked upon as a ghost, perhaps, who is still attached to the physical realm. The next body up we make reference to is the astral or emotional body. And it is this astral or emotional body that confines and often defines much of mankind. The emotions of mankind have done some very interesting things in mankind's history. The next body up, we make reference to as the mental body. And in fact, it is the lower mental body or the intellect. And here is where our definition from Wikipedia, a genius is a person who displays exceptional intellectual ability, perhaps the ancients would take modest exception from. And it is in these three or four, depending on how you qualify, the physical or the physical etheric body, it is in these three bodies the physical etheric, the astral, and the intellect. It is therein that what we call the personality resides. The personality is that vehicle that we park in our lower three bodies, our lower four bodies, depending on your perspective. So now, what is it about our personalities that have gotten us in so much of a pickle? And what is it that we address in the context of retooling for your coming of age that brings us to this topic? So there's a phrase that I've recently come across yet again, and it's called when the wrong man uses the right means work in the wrong way. So perhaps there is something wrong with the way we think. And how is it that the way we think or identify ourselves, how is it that that works against us? We are in a pickle, if you will. We are in the demise of and the destruction of and the exit of an old era. And the old era can be the last century, it can be the last 1,000 years, it can be the last 2,000 years, and in fact, it could be the last 25,900 years. And it is this passing era that presents with how misguided and misdirected we have been by identifying ourselves with our personalities. Our personalities are not who we are, no more than the car is who you are. It is a vehicle. It's a vehicle and a vessel. And it is in this personality that we reside, but it is not who we are. Now that, for almost everybody, does not jive with what they think they know. As I said, we confuse money with wealth. A bunch of people run businesses or operate in order to make money, and then when they have it, they have no idea what to do with it. A lot of people work and strive and struggle in order to achieve status and assume that that status lends them the validity of happiness. And it is most definitively erroneous to equate happiness with status, to create money with wealth, and to create and identify our personality with who ourselves are. Our genius resides in the upper three bodies. This would be the higher manas, the higher mental, the atmic, and the buddhic bodies. And it is in those higher bodies that our soul, our genius, our self resides. And in its creation of the lower bodies, the self passed down to the personality a thread of brilliance, a thread of the sun, if you will, a thread of your genius. And it is our quest in terms of retooling for our coming of age in order to connect those higher bodies to the lower and in order to extricate ourselves from identification the lower bodies. It doesn't mean they do not exist. It merely means that they exist as an instrument through which the higher bodies and the genius can present themselves. Now, historically, when I have spoken to the genius that is Nikola Tesla, we wander through the brilliance of Nikola Tesla and how and what he did and how he did it, and he changed the history of mankind. And he didn't do it necessarily for wealth and fame. In fact, I would suggest that that is not at all the reason he did it. He did it because he was called to do it by an urge that knew no limits. I would propose that the genius is our normal state of affairs. and that our genius will manifest itself in us when we can temper our personality, temper our ego in such a manner that allows our genius to flow through us. This is what some would call a soul-infused personality. This is what conventional thinkers would be, the engineers in our lives, as a personality that allows the genius to shine through it. Now, Nikola Tesla was an absolute brilliant genius and a wonderful example of such. He has over 700 patents to his name. He has been accredited with creating and inventing the radio, wireless telegraphy, which is the forerunner of the smartphone technology, remote control, robotics, X-rays, and he was also the creator of the alternating current as opposed to the direct current. He also happened to be born during a lightning storm. What was it that created this genius? What was it that allowed this genius to manifest itself? Nikola Tesla had an unbelievably astute mind. He was able to, without the bat of an eye, perform multiplications in his head so quicker than a calculator. 3, 5, 8 digits each, didn't matter, he would be able to know what the answer was. He also had quite a remarkable capacity to create things in his mind's eye, test them, organize them, rejig them if he needed to, in his mind, before he ever built them. And it's in that aspect of mental creativity that he shines as a brilliant example of a genius. He also identified the better part of 100 years ago, the thought that there will be a point in time that mankind and humanity will be able to plug in to the electromagnetic field that is everywhere on the planet. When he initially proposed this to his funder, J.P. Morgan, J.P. Morgan shut it down merely because J.P. Morgan couldn't make money off of it. What an awful thing. He identified something that we continue to work on with our electrical engineers and with our astral physicists, and we get to identify with the vessels and the vehicles of the planet. What is it about this? Why is it that we cannot tap into this? It isn't that we cannot. It is that we choose to identify our sense of who we are as our personality. Now, our personality, as some would say, or the mind, is a wonderful servant, but a terrible master. The same could be said of our personality. It's a wonderful servant, but a terrible master, and it needs to be given direction from something of a higher order. We have the personalities on this planet in their pursuit of empowering the lower vessels, the lower vehicles, have created an environment on the planet that is akin to Armageddon. Ho, ho, I kid you not. When the wrong man uses the right means work in the wrong way. Could be something spoken of Hitler, perhaps. Hitler was a very advanced student of the occult, a very advanced student of the ancient mysteries. And he plugged into those realms with a personality that was misguided, quite drastically misguided. And he changed the very planet in his pursuit. I dare say that those that are in power on the planet right now have the same potential for misguided behavior and aspect, and that we are in a normal course of the ebb and flow of Mother Nature, and in an abnormal course in the ebb and flow of mankind's awareness. How blind can they be to think that there, the empowerment of the very, very, very few at the expense of the many does not have implications, dramatic implications. There's a saying that goes, man's extremity is God's opportunity. Man's extremes in the empowerment of the personality, in identifying its deification, if you will, creates an environment that drives us closer to the precipice of disaster. When we reside in the beingness of ourselves, allowing the beingness of ourselves to present, we re-identify with the context of us being human beings, not human doers. Again, simple things that are hidden in plain view. The consent of you to allow your genius to manifest in you, into your personality, is something that happens not by your personality. For this is not an intellectual pursuit, nor is it an intellectual act. It is an act of allowing, and it is an act of getting out of the way. You don't get there through the use of your intellect. You don't get there through the use of your personality. It is the personality that is your servant, not you its servant. We have forgotten that our intuition is the great gift. Our higher realms are the great gift. We have lost sight of it. And it's time to regain that sight. It's time to allow that brilliance to shine into us. It's time for us to take the example that the plant kingdom shows us in terms of its flowering, in terms of its turning to the sun, turning to the soul, turning to the light. It's time to take responsibility for waking up. Waking up to who you are and waking up to what you do. And there we have it, ladies and gentlemen. This is Friday, August 22nd, 2014. I'm Jeff Dunphy, and we have just spent our time retooling for your coming of age. I trust this was of use, and I look forward to seeing you, or rather speaking with you, next week. Thank you.